and welcome to episode number 33 of Girl Fight. My name is Nicole Tanner, and I am your host today. I am joined by Christine Steimer.
Hello.
Megan Sullivan.
Blar.
And Dana Jungleward.
Hi.
Jess is off shooting something again.
And may stop by.
She may, yeah. We'll just have to wait and see. So she's going on vacation, like, tomorrow, so she's got to shoot all their
lucky
stuff.
Bitch.
I want to go on vacation tomorrow.
How do you really feel, Christine?
Are you traveling? Are you traveling for the holidays?
I fly out on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
Back home.
Up to Seattle.
Yep.
You doing it solo?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
He's taking care of the dogs.
Okay. So you took Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I stayed for Thanksgiving to be the dog sitter. So he gets to be the dog sitter now.
Okay. I like it how it gets to be.
Yeah. I'm not going anywhere.
Me neither. Which is with a 2-year-old, the best
thing
we can do.
Yeah,
and we're not
nice.
Having anyone come in. So I'm actually looking
really
forward
nice.
To a
it's
really
relaxing.
Awesome. Yeah. Especially since I did find out, and I love you all. My brother listens to this podcast. So my brother's coming in February for 2 weeks. He's actually out for a conference, which is awesome because my brother could stay with me for a really long time and it would be
cool.
And
babysit.
My parents, who I also adore, but, you know, parents visiting is a bit more of a challenge than a sibling. And they called and checked and gave the okay, but it turns out they're coming as well in February, and they're getting here the day after my brother leaves.
Oh,
wow.
So, and then
so
my parents
back.
Leave. And then the next day, GDC starts.
Oh my
so
gosh.
It's going to be kind of a crazy
2.5 weeks.
But yes, you are totally on as far as the babysitting thing. I told him, I'm like, you're staying with me for 2 weeks. Then you are going to be staying at home with my kid. He has 2 kids of his own. So
yeah.
And they're older. So my kid's easy.
It's like I'm trying to get away from that. And now
yeah,
you're
no,
sticking me
no,
with another
no.
kid.
He's great with kids. And he's also been told he will be helping do things like put insulation in our basement.
Nice.
Good. That's always
go.
Fun.
Well, this is the last time
free
was
labor.
It your parents or your husband's parents that helped with your yard?
Yeah, they re-landscaped our front yard for us.
Sweet.
Oh, wow.
And
so every
parents,
time family visits, they have to renovate
mom,
your house.
Yes, my mom actually finished all the curtains that I had purchased at IKEA, and I had to like split panels and re-sew and hem everything. And my mom actually did all of that stuff. So,
oh wow,
wow, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, no, they work.
Family's useful.
That's what they.
Yeah.
That's what happens. We
You're
buy a
stay
house.
With us?
We buy a house. They come visit. They get to do stuff.
Yeah.
Yay.
Alrighty.
Anyway.
Well, let's jump in like we always do with what we're playing. Who wants to start? Megan, how about you start this week?
Okay, well, I played the Sly Collection because I never played the Sly.
Well, what did
Cooper.
You think?
Megan, I didn't hate them. I didn't
She's
hate them.
Kill you.
I didn't hate them. What the issue is? They were too easy for me. So I was
I'm
initially
such an awesome gamer. That
That's exactly what I did, by the way. As I was sitting in front,
I'm
such an awesome gamer.
Are there not
totally
difficulty settings?
I haven't played.
There aren't difficulty
no?
settings.
No,
and they are. They are on the
They're skewed
side.
Towards a younger
yeah.
audience. So I liked them. I thought they were good platforming games. I think they're a great deal if you have kids mm-hmm. or, you know, mm-hmm. if you want that kind of thing. Because it's like 3 games for like a pretty good
40
price.
Bucks.
Yeah, it was like $40. So
a lot of trophies.
Oh, yeah, it was like over 100. It's like
yeah, because there
trophies
are trophies for each
individual trophies for
each game,
one.
Yeah.
I think there's a platinum for each individual one. I could be wrong on that.
Yeah, it's crazy. You get a trophy for like starting the first game. It's like, all right, I did nothing, but hey, trophy.
I love games that do that.
So it, nice. it makes my life easier.
I hate it when they make it so impossible to get.
That's
something.
Really annoying when you've been playing
kill
for
100,000 people in multiplayer or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
You're like, what? I don't want to
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, when you've been playing for like 4 hours and you haven't had any
a
little
single one
pop up mm-hmm. and you're like, am I doing
reward me.
Exactly.
Make me feel good about playing your game.
Yeah, it does. You get
I need validation.
I need, yes.
You get trophies for everything in these games. So it was good, but because it was skewed towards a younger audience, I felt like I would literally be playing and staring off in space at the same time and be like, how did I finish this level? I don't even remember.
Apparently,
playing.
I am childish.
So sorry, Dana. Yeah. I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings. But if you do like platformers and you do want a challenge, the next game I played was Donkey Kong Country Returns, which is a surprisingly difficult game.
Well, that game is hard as hell.
How is it surprising?
I don't know.
Yeah, the first
all those
game
was
really hard as well.
Yeah.
Well, and I never played the original Donkey Kong Country game. So
I guess that's true because you did grow up with Nintendo. Playing Nintendo platforming games, so something like Sly is going to be...
Yeah.
And I did not, my one experience as a... Like, I was 12 and I was babysitting kids who had, like, a... Whatever, the original Super Mario Brothers was on, and I never made it underground on the first level because I was so bad at it.
If you grew up with them, but I think that I would have liked it. Like, I really liked Donkey Kong Country Returns. I think I was a little miffed you couldn't use the classic controller as an option just because the Wiimote sort of breaks up the flow of the platforming experience a little bit for me.
Yeah, I didn't like shaking it.
Yeah, that was a little weird. And it wasn't always accurate. Like, you were supposed to do something and it would get nitpicky.
Did you play it with the nunchuck or did you just flip the controller over on its side?
I played it with the nunchuck.
Okay, I would never do that.
So,
I wouldn't want two things in my hands instead of just like flipping.
Yeah, just like something that feels much more like a classic. Yeah, controller.
Right. It did, but I wanted to see if the nunchuck, like, I wanted to use all the accessories I had because, damn it, I bought them, didn't I? So, yeah, so that was fun. It was challenging. And then I played.
Except then you broke it.
And then I broke it, and then it was amazing.
Wait, you broke it?
No.
Maybe there was an optimal control scheme,
so I flipped out. Yeah, and then I played a bunch more of Pac-Man and got a trophy for getting like 2 million points in Championship Edition 2. And I'm trying to platinum the game if I can, but I don't know what things I'm missing. So
you can look.
Yeah.
I know, but that's no fun. I like discovering things. So there.
Yeah, but how are you supposed to? All right. Sure.
There's no logic to my argument. Don't be stupid. So yeah, but that is what I have been playing.
Cool. How about you, Christine?
All I've been playing, I'm a little embarrassed, World of Warcraft. I log on every night with my friend and we play.
What level are you now?
I'm 34 on my Blood Elf Paladin, which I just started this weekend.
Yeah. So on the same server?
On the same server on Lothar. Pockets Full of Magic, still my guild.
Nick is finally going to add me. He sent me a nasty, because I've been complaining, I'm still in the guild. And
well,
they finally
emailed
me.
Never online when everybody's online.
Nick emailed me and was like, send me your username, dang it.
Oh my gosh. Like, okay, if you log on when I'm on, I will add you.
All right.
But it's what I find really cool about it is I'll get, you know, whispers from people in the world. And they're like, hey, is this the IGN guild? Like, can we join? I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. It's fun to interact with readers in that way, actually.
Yeah.
And there's this one guy that's been helping me and my friend out. And we've been going, like, on dungeon crawls and stuff together.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Charles is, like, 46 already.
Yeah, Charles has been kicking everybody's butts.
I know. I was on last night, and he was the only one. He's also been sick, so
he's been doing is playing the game. I don't have that excuse, but I'm still just playing the game. But yeah, I honestly have not touched anything else, really.
Yeah.
I just go home and I like log onto my computer.
This is a dumb question, but is there a level cap on those games?
Yes, 85.
It is. It's 85 is what it is now. It's gone up with each expansion. It was originally 60 and then it went up to 70, 80, and now 85. Which
I think it's weird that they didn't bump it to 90.
Yeah, it is a little bizarre.
It's like, why 5?
I know.
Mm-hmm. 5 levels that seems like most people have already reached.
Right. Really well, quickly. I guess, I mean, then everyone is going back and trying the new races and then restarting
new
in
areas. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's
Blood Elf
it's
did not
all
change.
New. It's all
that's
new
really sad.
Quests. Oh, well, yeah, but that was a new
Yeah, but
race
it still
anyway.
Sucked.
You are it's like the, marooned
wow,
out
it's a
there.
Really, it's like out of the
well,
middle of
elves,
nowhere. It's so far. Like you literally are just running back
elves
and forth.
Is all
for
whole,
really
though.
Area.
I just find them kind of aloof and not very fun to hang around. The night elves and the blood elves. I have a blood elf, Julia Child.
Well,
my blood elf.
Julia what? Child. I love it.
Because I played with my friend who is Tim Gunn. Tim Gunn and Julia Child.
That's
awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love my
on a different
blood
server.
Elf.
Now, I'm going to bring up the game that I know that you were reviewing. I assume you're allowed to talk about it.
Which one?
Rudolph?
Oh!
Oh, man.
That review is going up shortly after this podcast. So, yes, we can talk about it. Yeah, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on the Wii.
Based on the classic.
The classic claymation thing.
Based on that
thing.
Art and style.
I can't believe
nothing
they're bastardizing
to do
it.
With that with any of those movies. I love those movies.
I love
great. Yeah.
That's my very favorite of the holiday genre.
There are a whopping 4 mini games included in this mini game compilation. Zero of them are fun. So if you are looking for something to play with your family over the holidays, this is not it.
What are the mini games, by the way?
Oh my God, they're so stupid. It's So one of them, you take just the Wii remote, not the nunchuck or anything, and you tilt it on its side, and you're just supposed to tilt it like to the right or to the left in order to make your character move to the right or to the left, and like it throws objects. Like an elf is on a ladder and it's like throwing objects at you, and you're supposed to like get underneath them and like bounce them over to either the tree or jump and put them on top of the tree or like move them into this bag. But it's so hard to control that it's just you're just like, no, get over. It takes forever. I cannot imagine a kid doing that.
Yeah.
And then the other ones were super. It was weird because that one was really hard and really awkward and just doesn't really work very well. And all the other ones were just so stupid and simple that. One of them was literally just like chucking, like a bowling movement, mm-hmm. just doing that, like flicking paint, quote right. unquote, on toys.
Wee!
All of which look the same. There's like there's like two or three different types of toys that keep running by awesome. On the conveyor belts. And then there was making cookies,
aww.
Which was really, you had to do different motions and it would like show you what motions to do while you're doing it.
Who published this game?
Who published it? I can't remember. Okay. And then the last one is tossing presents down the chimney. But if you make it on the roof, you know, at all, it will count. But if you make it in the chimney, it's more points. But of course, points
so because like, everybody goes on the roof to fetch their presents.
Well, it falls through the roof and into your house.
Okay. Sure, that makes magic.
Sense. So apparently, your parents should be spending money on a new roof.
Yeah, exactly. I'm surprised there's not like a teeth pulling game. The one thing I remember that about right. that cartoon is because the one elf wants to be
that
a dentist, which is so random.
It's it has like, nothing to do with it. I mean, there's a quote unquote story mode. It just runs you right through the four mini games, and it's really it doesn't.
So it's not a story.
No, it's not a story. I mean, they're like, oh. They need some help putting this under the Christmas tree. That's the story. Go do it. Okay. Well, now Mrs. Claus needs help making cookies. Go do that. And you're like, what? No. But the cool thing is that the loading screen is really funny.
Okay.
It's the Yeti, and he's just like dancing.
Tell you what.
It's the best part of the game.
And did you take a screenshot of the. You should
I need to go capture footage.
And
of
then
the
put it
screen.
On IGN and be like, here's the best part of this game
right
here.
That's how
here,
I start
readers.
Out my review. Yes. The best part of this game is the loading screen.
Right.
I wish that were a joke.
Yeah.
But
here
no.
you go. Enjoy. Don't.
Just loop it over and over as you talk
terrible.
About the game.
I mean.
Yeah.
It's just so lazy and...
Well, it's just such an obvious, like,
cash
grab.
In.
Yeah, it's...
Rudolph, okay.
Some dumb parent will buy this.
It took me 10 minutes to beat this game. And those games are not something you're going to play over and over again. So...
Fail.
Zero replay value.
Yeah.
Sweet.
It's not
is it even
score.
Any multiplayer?
Really?
No. Well, I know, right? also, like, you obviously don't... You could score 1 point and still progress through the story mode. You can't fail. It's kids' games. Right. And then, comparing-wise, you don't ever enter your name. So it's really just, like, you would have to be... Oh, first of all, there's only 2-player co-op. Not four-player.
And no competitive.
It's not really co-op. You are competing against each other, trying to get a higher score.
Got it.
But
there's
you
no
basically
way to enter
can
your
only
name?
Know based on the or the character you're playing as. So there's like 4 different characters to play as. So you just have to know that that person always played as Rudolph, and then it would show up as like Rudolph scored this many points. Or
this is bad. And
lazy. This developer had
really
like
lazy.
A total of $10 to make this game. Is what it
also,
sounds
I think
like.
It literally took a day.
Any developers who had to work on this game, our hearts go out to you.
I'm
sorry.
Really sorry.
You had to work
but
on
it's
this
a
game.
Really bad game.
No,
and
we know you didn't think it was a good game.
It's not your fault.
Also, they put some sort of weird grain filter on. I assume to maybe match the movies, but it just makes everything look like crap.
Wow.
Like even worse than it. Oh,
that sounds awesome.
Yeah. So you have that to look forward to, everybody.
Woo! How about you, Dana?
I haven't played much in this last week because I was sick. I had like, talk about something that makes you want to escape and play games. I had the daycare Christmas party. So being squashed into a room with 75 people, at least a third of whom are 5 and under. Woo!
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, like, we were running around all day on Saturday, and then I got sick. And unlike Charles, mine was the sort of sick where I was, like, I had a fever and felt like crap and slept for, like, 20 hours. So I was not doing any playing games.
Wow.
So I played a little bit of WoW last night, except Comcast then kept booting me out because
they
Comcast
suck.
Is rated the worst company in America. So, which is awesome.
Is it really weird?
Yeah, it actually is.
Oh, wow. It doesn't surprise me.
And they are my only option for high-speed internet.
They're most people's only option.
I know. And it makes me want to cry. I live in the Bay Area, and Comcast is the only option
See,
that I have.
I have AT&T, and I think that's so much worse. It's just their DSL.
I had AT&T DSL in my apartment, but in where I live now. In San Francisco. Not the city. There are many cities.
I could go to the city.
So when I lived in San Francisco, yes, my apartment there, and we were able to get a decent speed of DSL. I mean, I had problems with it, but I felt they were a little, in my experience, easier to deal with. But then Comcast, they're a pain to deal with, and my AT&T DSL, I only can get the lowest level of connectivity where my house is. Yeah, exactly. So it sinks. So I kept dropping out last night, and after I got logged out for the fifth time in 5 minutes,
you
I
were
said,
like, screw
"I guess
this.
I'm done."
Yeah.
So I played. I got up a couple more levels.
What are you playing as again? Undead again?
Yeah, no, I'm okay. Undead warrior because we didn't have any tanks.
You didn't want to do the undead knight anymore.
I have the death knight, and I
or
started, but I hadn't done a death knight before, so I hadn't quite realized that you're like way off in all
this
whole
other
area.
Yeah, but you start out at what, 55?
You
do. So you're only,
well, she's still
you're only
on
five
the
levels away from getting a flying mount and fly
yeah,
over.
No, I know. I gave my undead death knight's name to Nick as well to have her and put her in the guild too. So we'll see.
How does that work? Like, starting out at level 55, do you just have a ton of
there's a new
talent points?
There's a
and
different
stuff to
starting
do,
area. I don't think I looked at that. I played her for like a half hour. Okay. And it had been so long since I was like, huh? I'm trying to figure out how to play her. And then there was a quest that I was having to do that I wasn't figuring out well. And yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, and I was like, I'm going to go back and play the kinds of characters I know how to play. and so I've been doing that. And I've also, I don't remember if I talked about this last time, but on iPhone, I've been playing a little bit of Game Dev Story because I've seen
yes.
a lot of people talking
Love
about
that.
It, including Greg, was I think the first one that I saw tweeting a lot about it because I was like, what?
Yeah, it's a really fun game.
It is. It's really fun. I have to keep fighting my instinct, which is what I do in any sort of sim game or management game like this, that the second that things start going wrong, then I want to quit and start a new game so I can have like everything to go perfect all the time.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Which
what,
is something I have to fight.
What combination did you do that wasn't working well?
Oh, I've done a number of combinations.
Oh, really?
Well,
like,
yeah.
Nice.
I can't even remember now. I can look. Hang on. Go ahead, Nicole, and then I can talk about my combos after.
Alrighty. I've been playing more Epic Mickey. Still not done with it yet because I can still only play it in short bursts before it annoys me and I have to put it down. But it has enough charm that I want to finish it. And there's really, really cool stuff. Spoiler alert. There is in the Tomorrowland area, all the areas are from the amusement parks.
Okay.
And the boss is like a Tron version of Small Pete, who is one of the old characters. It's like a black and white
is
dog.
Is it the Steamboat Willie?
Oh,
yeah.
But he's in like a Tron outfit and he throws a disc at you and it's pretty funny. So, yeah. So that was cool. And then I also played through Mystery Case Files 13th Skull, which is a downloadable PC game. It used to be just Hidden Object, but now it's kind of like point and click adventure RPG Hidden Object all combined together mm-hmm. in one. And it's pretty cool. The coolest thing about it is that it uses, well, cool and uncool. The characters are all portrayed by live actors, and which would be awesome if they could actually act.
Oh,
they're kind of overacting, so it's kind of like watching a high school play a little bit.
No.
But, but the puzzles are really cool, and I enjoyed it. The story was decent, so yeah, it's pretty good. And that's it. I've kind of been sick too, so I haven't been playing a whole lot.
Cool. Woohoo!
What are your bad combos, Dana?
I'm looking.
She's still looking.
Where the heck do?
She's on her smartphone.
Action game or something.
I am. Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't remember what it is. And it's not letting me go back. Where are my save games? I don't know. I can't tell you what my bad combos were. I don't even know if it was that so much as I kept them going for the challenges where you could like train them up, you know, where they're like, hey, I want to try this. And I was having a lot of good luck in that. And I was throwing a lot of points to it. And then I had a couple of burnout in a row and I totally tanked my year. And I was like, oops. I don't want to do this one anymore.
Let's start a new company.
Yeah. So.
Alrighty. So that's what we're playing. And this week's topic, as we teased you on the Facebook page, is going to be our favorite games of the year.
Yay!
Game of the year.
2010 is almost over.
It was a very popular video. I was totally not the target demo for that video.
No, I hated that video. That song always stuck in my head.
I know.
No.
It's catchy.
And now you
but
got
I
it back in
it.
My head. That
yeah. Hate it and love it at the same time.
So the way we're going to do this is we're going to go by platform and pick out our favorite games on each platform that we've played on. Since Megan doesn't have a 360, she can't really pick a
game. I can guess or pretend, though.
I'm going to caveat my choices straight off by saying that there are a ton of games that I plan on actually, you know, at least spending a couple hours with over the break. And I also haven't spent enough. There are going to be ones that I say today that I haven't played nearly as much as I want to play.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So 360 is an easy one.
Yeah, Mass Effect 2.
I'd assume it would be Mass Effect 2 for me, although I keep hearing a lot of good things about Limbo.
Limbo is a really good game.
But Limbo's amazing.
Yeah, Mass Effect 2 is mine on 360 as well.
I might say Red Dead, because I haven't played Mass Effect 2 because I keep waiting to make myself play Mass Effect 1.
Or you can just wait and get it on the PS3,
which is what I'm doing.
I own it on 360.
Oh, you own it. All right.
And then I can also, I also have both games on PC.
So it's not a matter of access.
No, it isn't that at all. It's a matter of time.
Yeah.
So I'll say Red Dead, although Limbo was really awesome.
Yeah.
I like the co-op stuff in Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah, Limbo is definitely in my Xbox Live.
Yeah.
Although I finally played a little bit of Pac-Man Championship DX, and I'm not good at that sort of game, but that's actually nice. It's a nice way to. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you can be crappy and still enjoy playing it.
I'm really bad at Pac-Man.
I am.
But I actually, for XBLA, I would pick Deathspank.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I did enjoy Limbo, but it was just.
Yeah.
I don't know. I enjoyed Deathspank more.
Spider legs.
Yes, too many spiders.
Oh, so creepy. I'd be so happy if they ported that to PSN.
Yeah.
Yeah, who developed that?
It was some indie developer.
Yeah, it was an indie developer. Weren't they out of
UK
like Holland or something?
Well, in Europe,
something random.
Sure.
Even if they made a PC version, because I would not think it would take an intense PC. I would think you could run it on a low end.
Yeah, I'd be perfectly happy if they were, you know, if they had a deal with Microsoft or something. Like, well, we can bring it over to PC at least, and then
games for Windows Live.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo! They're supporting it now. Sorry.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, PS3. Megan,
give us
yours.
Heavy Rain.
Oh. I would probably pick Red Dead is probably going to be my pick of the year, which really surprised me because I really, really hate Westerns and I really, really hate Rockstar, but they made a really good game. So good job, Rockstar. Yeah.
And you said Heavy Rain.
Heavy Rain.
Red Dead is
my number two on both of these lists.
See, Heavy Rain is Heavy Rain's another one that I haven't played yet. So.
Yeah, I have a list of games I still am trying
Heavy
to play.
Rain was from everything else that came out this year.
Yeah,
right.
I have three or four games that I still am trying to get through. I have 16 days left to get through a bunch of 2010 games, and Heavy Rain is kind of at the top of the list.
Actually, I should make my list. Heavy Rain.
Yeah, these are all games I haven't played.
Yeah, Heavy Rain. Bayonetta's one I want to play.
Make myself do some
Costume nice Quest. Somebody was saying is a really
Costume Quest is good.
Is a good it's one a for game. PSN. I would say Pac-Man for sure. Because I cannot seem to stop playing it. So it must be very good.
Yeah. I guess my PSN would be probably Deathspank. That was very fun.
That would be a second. That would be a second for me. That or Scott Pilgrim. That actually was a fun game too. So,
I don't know what my PS3 game of the year would be. I liked Sly. I liked Need for Speed, Hot Pursuit. I like Lego Harry Potter a lot.
Yeah.
Lego Harry Potter was good. Mm-hmm. I haven't finished it yet, actually. Now that I think about it, I need to go back and do that.
Yeah. Yeah, but like a couple of those, it's like they're multi-platform. I don't know. You know,
yeah.
It just happened to be the one I played it on. I liked God of War 3, but I think the God of War magic might be over for me.
Yeah.
Or what I've played so far. It's like, okay, this is really awesome. It's more God of War.
Yeah.
Yep. More God of War.
Yep.
Yep. I've exactly. done this before.
Yep.
Alrighty. This is going to be a hard one for everybody.
Kirby. I'm going to go with Kirby because I enjoyed playing Donkey Kong Country more than I enjoyed playing Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Mm-hmm. Definitely Kirby.
Kirby.
Even though it has its flaws, I'm going to go with Epic Mickey.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
To be fair, I have not played Epic Mickey.
No, it's actually supposed to arrive in my mailbox tomorrow. So But I'm thinking that if it has a slightly wonky camera, which is my absolute number one pet peeve in a game, because I know you can recenter it, but I hear that even that's just can be annoying, so you have to keep doing it.
It
Am
can
I right?
be. Actually, the camera isn't so much what's annoying me as some of the platforming areas are really hard.
See, that's not good if you can't platform in a platformer.
But it's not a platformer. It is a kind of a hybrid platformer, adventure, RPG type thing.
It sounds
very
schizo.
Yeah, but I think even if you have platformer as part of your hybrid of a game.
A lot of games are schizo nowadays.
It seems like it's having an identity crisis.
Make sure it's good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was some press about Warren Spector, like, telling people that
the camera doesn't need to be good or something.
Well,
I know that was not his exact
words. And everybody seems to think he said that, like, reviewers just didn't understand the camera or whatever, but that's not what he said, because I read through the actual interview. And he basically admitted that it was super difficult to make the right camera for this game because it is a platformer and an adventure game. And you usually want, for a platformer, you want your camera at a very steep angle so that you can see what's going on in front of you. And for an adventure game, you want it lower so you can see peripherally what's going on. And so they had to kind of
try and do both
or find a happy medium. And it's not perfect. And he admitted that it's not perfect. But the not understanding thing is that he said like lots of reviewers just assumed it was a straight up platformer, and it's not. So he said people misunderstood the type of game that they were making.
Gotcha.
So that's what he said. It's not quite as bad as what everybody's making it out to
well,
be.
Well, it never is.
No.
Yeah.
Well, except in the case of a few people where it's actually worse than it.
It has happened.
That's just how they are. I won't say those people's names because then we will probably get emails from them.
Right. Yeah. Probably. All right. Here's a platform that probably nobody played. PSP.
Lunar.
I can't find my PSP.
Mine is God of War: Ghosts of Sparta.
I have not
but
played a
with
PSP
the,
game this year.
Yeah, I haven't played very many. So.
I haven't played very many either, to be fair, but I was addicted to Lunar.
Cool.
Did anyone play Peace Walker or whatever the PSP game?
I didn't, but
that's
I've heard
Greg's,
it's amazing.
I mean, friggin' loves that game. Says it actually makes sense for once.
Now I do not believe that a Metal Gear game.
No, I mean, apparently they went a more simple route with their story and didn't go all wackadoodle.
Yeah, I'm not into Metal Gear at all, which is why I haven't played it, but I haven't heard anything bad about it. So.
I haven't either.
Yeah, I was just wondering because I think it won like our best of
2010.
Yeah,
it won almost
every single
award
one
on the PSP.
Yeah.
Poor PSP. Because there weren't that many games to choose from.
I just think it was that good of a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, there were not that many games.
Yeah. And DS.
Go. I was trying not to jump in and be the first one.
Go, Dina, go.
Picross 3D is the one that I played the most by far. I love Professor Layton games, and this one was very charming. But it's like, okay. Yeah, it's kind of like how I was with God of War 3.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, yep.
Yeah, Picross is probably mine as well. I still haven't finished
it. No, I haven't either.
There's a buttload of puzzles in that thing.
And then they get
really hard. Yeah. And especially if you want to get like all the medals and stuff, which means you have to do the puzzle perfectly and not make any mistakes.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And at the times when you would, because I've.
And within a time limit.
Yeah. And it was my commute game. So like there were a few times when like we'd hit a bump as I was going in and then you'd hit the wrong square and you're like, no!
And then the person on the bus next to you is going, what the?
Well, that's my only complaint about that game is even if you're playing it sitting still, and some of the puzzles after it gets so many blocks,
big.
They're so tiny that it's easy to
I've been playing it on a because that was the game that they came out right around the time that they released the XL. Yeah. And that's what I've been playing it on. And
I imagine that would be easier.
Glad. Yeah, it was because I was like, I feel kind of like a dork with the large print DS. But then I was like, as that game kept going, I'm like, oh, there's no way I'm switching.
Yeah. I've had a lot of DS games, but a whole lot of them weren't that memorable. I did just get, I haven't played it yet, 999, which apparently has a cult following on a lot of game boards. Hmm. It's an adventure game. I think it won our, like, the best story for DS 2010. I can't remember who reviewed it, but other than that, I can't think of any games that really, like, floored me, like, off the top of my head. Like, Harvest Moon wasn't that great. I played Golden Sun, which was totally overhyped.
I guess Pokemon. It's, like, the only thing I can think of that I actually played on my DS this year.
Yeah, I know I played a lot of games, but I can't think of one of them. Later. They obviously weren't that good.
I just, I think I'm with you, Megan. Like, I feel like I've played games on it. I just can't remember what they are.
What was that really bad one you were playing where you were trying to have, it was like a...
Oh, Atrian Odyssey. Wait, which, are you thinking of that?
No, I was thinking of that one where you were having to, like, it was like, make the picture with a...
Oh, that
like,
was...
It was like a bad Picross.
It was like a, yeah, it was color, a bad Picross.
Color Cross?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, maybe.
the one that made Picross look super, super easy and like giant print version of things.
Yeah, it was
because it was so tiny.
Baby prints, like down the, I don't know, it was just like microscopic. You needed a magnifying glass to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't read this. Even on an XL, I can't read this. So.
Yeah.
All right. PC.
Oh, World of Warcraft.
Cooking Dash 3 was really fun. Like,
it was.
Nicole was the one who pointed that out. And it's just like Cooking Dash 3. And I think this was also the year I discovered Plants vs. Zombies. I don't think it came out this year. It came out last year, right?
It did.
Originally. Yeah. So it's kind of a 2009 title, but I don't care because I discovered it this year and it was really fun.
Yeah, Cooking Dash 3 is probably mine as well. It's just it's the best Dash game ever.
I was surprised too because I was like, well, where can you go with Diner Dash? And I'd already played Wedding Dash on DS. Oh, there's a game I played, but it was very forgettable. But yeah, when I played Cooking Dash 3, I was like, actually, this is really fun.
Yeah.
Wow. Without a doubt. Wow. Yeah. It's amazing how they've revamped the whole thing. I know I've said that multiple podcasts now, I think, in a row, but it's seriously.
You're just blown away.
It's unbelievable.
I can't wait to like get up to the Cataclysm content. It's gonna be a long time.
I was gonna say
it'll be next year, but I'll make it.
I'm not the only one who's just never picked up and played.
Nope,
this
haven't.
Is my first.
You haven't. You haven't. Oh, okay.
So. WoW was the first MMO that I've ever played.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's a good one for newbies.
It is,
but it does require a PC.
I don't have a working PC.
I know.
My laptop
or
is
Mac.
Such a joke.
Or Mac. A Mac. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right. Do we all have iPhones?
Yeah.
iPhone? I am getting a smartphone in the next couple of days as an early Christmas present.
So what are we like on iPhone this year? I actually haven't played a whole lot on the iPhone.
I haven't played a lot. Train Yard is really fun. Plants vs. Zombies, you know, I mean, it's Plants vs. Zombies. I think it did.
It's so confused. There's
I know,
so many
I do too.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm going with Game Dev Story.
Game Dev Story is really,
really
good.
Addictive.
I don't feel like I've played enough of it.
I've heard a lot about Angry Birds and Cut the Rope.
Cut the Rope is good.
Angry Birds, Cut the Rope is good. Mm-hmm. Both good games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm looking at my phone right now and I'm trying to see if I have anything else loaded on here that I really liked.
Yeah. Game Dev Story is the iPhone game that I've played the longest.
Mm. Yeah.
Most of the other stuff I'll play for like a second. Or you're like, hop in really quickly and then I'm out. But Game of Story, I actually sat there for like 3 hours and played. And then I looked up and was like, oh, crap. I need to eat dinner.
Oops. Or plug in your phone.
Yeah, plug in. Exactly. Yeah, that's all I have on my phone, too.
Okay, so did I miss any? We covered everything, right?
I think we can speak to anyhow.
Like, none of us have a droid, so we can't really
Facebook.
Talk about that.
My brother,
Facebook.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Good
we
call,
have
Dana.
To do that.
Yeah.
Hi, it's our job.
How did I forget that?
Zuma Blitz. Yeah. And it's live now. You can all play Zuma Blitz.
Oh, you can. Oh, we can.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
I will not.
I've never played it, but I've heard good things.
It's good.
I don't like you also have to let it access all your info to play it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, see, that's the thing about Facebook games,
right?
I don't like that.
It's not all your info. It's just whatever you have made public on Facebook. So, you know, you can set your contact information to be private or blah, blah, blah. I mean, honestly, like, I have been playing Facebook games now for over a year, and I haven't had any trouble with anything happening. So I think
she plays from a whole range of people.
Yeah,
and PopCap is definitely one of the more
the reputable ones.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think, you know. I mean, some people are just against it altogether, but I think, you know, if you're gonna play one, PopCap is.
And most of the reason that they're doing that is to populate your, and it's to populate your high score list, because then it can tell, okay, I can see you are friends with these people who we also know are playing this game, and so we will put their scores into your high score thing.
Yeah,
so you know who's but.
And that's the whole point of the Blitz games, anyhow, is to beat the high scores of your friends.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So.
And they don't make you go invite all your friends. They just automatically show up.
They don't have like all the, oh, so-and-so got this and whatever.
You can choose to do it, but nobody ever does. Yeah.
Speaking of PopCap, I heard, Danny, you played Bejeweled 3. I was just wondering
how. It's really,
really
good.
Oh, you liked it? Okay.
I mean, if you liked Bejeweled, if you've never liked Bejeweled, this will not change your
mind. I played the demo of like Bejeweled something or another on my PlayStation Network account, but.
It's fun.
It was fun.
It's fun.
All right. Good to know.
It's a good game. It's they took a lot of different modes, and they all have kind of their own unique flavor, so that's cool.
Cool. All right. Overall, I know what yours is.
Yeah. Nobody needs to ask me.
That's Christine, by the way.
And Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, now you know.
Megan?
Probably either Red Dead or Pac-Man.
Okay.
Dang. I'm going to go WoW. It reinvented itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
And mine is Heavy Rain.
Well, that's nice. So we all have different ones.
We're so diverse.
So there is no ultimate girl fight game of the year, unfortunately, since we all disagree. But I think we can all agree, it sounds like we all agree fairly well on kind of like a top three. Like, it seems we all like Mass Effect 2, we all like Heavy Rain, and we all like Red Dead.
Yes.
So. Mm-hmm. So that's our games of the year. So
World of Warcraft.
Well, we got two of us.
Yeah.
Two of us.
And I just don't like MMOs, so I don't.
I thought I wouldn't like MMOs either, but I'm actually really enjoying the social aspect, and especially since I hooked my friend into it, so we're leveling up together.
Yep.
So it's actually a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun, and there are some really funny, like they've just put some really funny just references to things and everything. Yeah, it's awesome.
Cool. All right. Well, I didn't bother to ask Jess before we came down here what her favorite game of the year was. I'm assuming it's Mass Effect 2.
I would say she might go Red Dead.
I thought she didn't like Red Dead because she didn't like the Western aspect of it.
Fable 3,
Well,
maybe.
According to her tweets.
Oh,
I would say Mass Effect.
Might
be, I would bet
I might,
Mass
she
Effect
might,
2.
I don't know if she finished it. I'm not really sure. But.
She finished Fable 3, too,
or,
right?
No, Fallout 3 came out last year, huh?
Yeah, that was last year.
I was thinking
Fallout 3 was
and
2 years
doesn't,
ago.
Oh, yeah.
And she doesn't like New Vegas.
New Vegas, because it's all buggy.
Because she gave it to me, which my husband has been happily playing. He's like, awesome!
Yeah, I'm going to guess hers is Mass Effect 2. Yeah. I'll have her posted online when we see her again. Okay, so questions. As always, if you have questions, you can send those to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. First question comes to us from Jackson. Jackson says that he likes playing MMOs and like World of Warcraft when all he does is accept a quest, complete it, and then hand it in. He wants to know if we think it would be worth it to him to buy Dragon Age 2 because he said Dragon Age 1 didn't really deliver that aspect that he wanted. He's undecided about Dragon Age 2. I would say Dragon Age 2.
I would say we haven't seen enough.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because all I've seen really is combat. I haven't seen quests.
Right.
So I don't know how.
Well,
that
you can't
works.
Really tell that till you have the whole game in
front
of you.
Yeah. I mean, would not pass judgment on it in terms of that aspect until one of us gets hours with the game.
And I'm waiting for someone here to say, "What do you mean you didn't like Dragon Age?"
Oh,
sorry.
No,
it's not for everybody.
I've openly say that I wanted to like it and I didn't really like it that much, but I ended up Dragon Age Origins. I didn't like it as much as Megan or Jess did, but it was one of those games I played it all the way through, but it was one of those games where I was like, why am I still playing this?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, my gut tells me that they might be going the same direction that they took Mass Effect and going like a little less RPG-y RPGE.
I don't think it's gonna be like a quest. I mean, a quest giver or anything the way that's not
right
the way those games work.
All right, next question comes to us from Hans. Hans wants to know, what do we think the games we play say about our core values as both an individual and a society? Core values. This sounds like a business thing.
Yeah. Wait. Sorry. Repeat it.
What do the games we play say about our core values as both an individual and as a society?
Our picks.
Yeah. So like the games that we like what does that say about us?
Well, how can we tell what that says about the society?
Apparently, mine says picks. I'm commitment phobic because I can't actually stick with anything or.
I think. Society. Actually, I'll say the two most popular games over here in the United States are like Call of Duty and Halo.
And we like to kill things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
violence is good.
Macho, violent stuff. You know, I think nobody would argue that that defines the United States, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't know. I play all kinds of different stuff, so I don't.
I like.
You are one of the most diverse gamers I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely. Like, I don't know what it says about me that I play Red Dead and Kirby's Epic Yarn, which could not be more contrasting, but I love them both equally. So I think it says I'm awesome because I play awesome games.
I would say that it may be the fact that we are all willing to try most things, even though none of us is a big fan of the shooters, means that we are from the Bay Area. We're pretty
open.
Yeah.
We're hippies. No, not really.
Except guns. No guns.
Yeah,
exactly. I do like shooters, every now and then. I just have to be in the right mood for them.
Right.
It's not and something not that I want to play shooting. All the time. You know, that's not something that I'm like, oh, I really want to go home and play Call of Duty. Like, I never have that urge.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm like, right now, I'm like, I really want to go home and play WoW.
I really do want to go home and play WoW.
Or if Mass Effect 3 or Dragon Age 2 or one of those games was out, or, Elder Scrolls, like, I'd be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
When is this day over so that I can just go home and play this game?
You said, when is this day?
When is this coming? home right now.
I know. I saw someone logged into WoW. Oh, Nick logged into WoW earlier, and I was, I know, that which bastard. Is his job. I was like,
again, jealous.
I was like, oh, that would be really fun.
I know. I keep thinking, I'm like, all right, what are some features that I can write so that I have an excuse to play this at work? Because before, when I did my. Like introing the troll area, I was able to play it at work and I was very happy.
Yeah. Alrighty. This question comes to us from Antonio and it's sort of directed at Christine. And so usually I just forward questions that are directed individual to this, but I thought this was funny. So that's why. So he wants to know why you don't like Ashley Williams in the first Mass Effect and his PS, Caden equals boring and complainy.
Complaining.
I mean, look, a lot of people felt that way. I'm not going to say that their opinions are invalid. Are wrong.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. If you think he's boring, then he is boring too. I mean, that's true. Right.
Complaining.
Complaining.
Like whiny.
Like whiny.
I know, but that's.
I know complaining is not a word. That's fine.
Yeah. I made up RPGE.
Sometimes you people make up butchering words. The English language.
Oh, it's fine.
Yeah, Shakespeare made up tons of words.
Like repudiate. Sure.
But anyways, Ashley,
I didn't like because she was first of all, she was borderline racist. And then she was just sort of a tool. Like, I don't know. Every time she opened her mouth, I just wanted to roll my eyes. Like, she's like,
and probably
reciting poetry. Oh, I'm so deep. Blah, blah, blah.
I
like,
you know, oh. I never
and
talked to
her after.
And her
face was busted. I'm sorry, but she looked crappy.
She did. Yeah. I don't think I ever even talked to her after, like, that first mission.
Yeah.
Because she was not in my party, and I really didn't. Plan to ever put her in my party, so I never cared about whether she liked me
the
or
only
not.
Story of hers that I thought was nice or whatever was there's a story where she tells about with her little sister and like growing up and raising them or whatever. I was like, all right, you're fine here, but you're still gonna die later, so
so yeah. sorry
so dun, spoilers
dun, dun.
Yeah, that was Mass spoiler. Effect 1, so it's been out for several years.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, next question comes to us from someone who doesn't have a name, but his email name is Smashmaster. and says that he revisited Mario Kart Wii the other day, and I assume this is online, was amazed to see that almost every player was female. And he wants to know, what is it about that game that attracts girls?
I never played it, so I don't know.
I haven't played it either.
I haven't played it either. I actually don't like kart racers.
Yeah,
I don't either.
The biggest fan.
Yeah, I haven't played it on the Wii, but I really did like it on GameCube, the Double Dash one.
So maybe that's why. Maybe it's like, I don't know. I mean, it's like the comfort level, because it is something that something a lot of people play, and it's safe. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, and it also has a feature that my husband actually hates, which is the randomness factor, where you could be last place and get some, you get this cool power up that you can just knock people out and then win at the last minute. And my husband hates that.
I kind of like games that are like a combo of skill and luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of a nice randomizer into
Keeps
things.
It interesting.
Exactly. Yeah. I guess it's the skilled players who don't like that.
I know, exactly. Because, if you're like, damn, I'm in last place again. Oh, wait, yeah, I won.
Suck it, nerds.
Okay, next question comes to us from Ricky. Ricky is 16 in high school, and he wants advice on how to show girls his nerdy side. He says he finds it fairly difficult to introduce his love interest to his nerdy side. As soon as they hear me talk about Mass Effect or Comic-Con, an automatic red flag comes up.
I would suggest getting a girl, like finding a girl who likes the same things. It sounds like you're going after girls who don't have the same interests. I don't know if you're trying to get them because they're pretty or popular or what the deal is, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't you go to... I mean, go to one of these places that it's like NerdCon,
and they're already there.
I mean, there's nice people there.
I saw good looking people walking, a few good looking people walking around PAX and stuff like that. So if you go to these big events, there's you'll find someone with a common interest.
Yeah,
and you can talk as nerdy as you want, and they won't care.
I would say we don't know what to say,
sir. But something Megan said is right on. That I do find a lot of guys who are like upset that girls don't like their things. They're always shooting for. Like the cheerleader, like the popular girl type. And it's like there are lots of
very cute, there are lots nerdy of girls cute, out
nerdy
there.
Girls
yeah, there are plenty cool. of nerdy girls at Comic-Con. I have a story about that. It was actually really funny. Girl and guy walking around. They're dressed up in like Star Trek get up. And some guy like walks by them. He's like, hey, cool Vulcan outfit. And the girl's like, I'm a Romulan. I was like, wow, that is hardcore.
Awesome.
So yeah, you can definitely find girls that will like the same things as you at Comic-Con, without a doubt. And, if all you've got are twitty cheerleader type girls in your high school, just wait until you get to college.
Vulcans and Romulans don't look anything alike. How could someone at Comic-Con
No, they do. They both have the pointy ears. And
okay.
They do.
All right. Maybe I'm misremembering which ones Romulans are. All right.
It's all right.
Next question.
Like,
comes
duh. How could you mess that up?
It comes to us from Marquez. Marquez says, oh, okay. So he had this really long story. His girlfriend got Dragon Age, and she was playing it over Labor Day weekend, and she's just hadn't stopped playing it. And at first, he was like, okay, cool, she likes the game, whatever, I'll go do something else. Mm-hmm. But then she would like wouldn't talk to him, everything. So, he says, after days of pretty much being ignored for a game, I took matters into my own hands. He snatched the controller from her hand, saved her game because he didn't want to be a total jerk,
and then
proceeded to disconnect the Xbox and move it to the guest bedroom. He wants to know if we think he went too far. Or if he was justified.
That's rude.
Because here's the thing. Has the shoe ever been on the
other
foot?
That's what I was going to say. Have you ever done that to her? Because if so, then that was completely out of line.
Yeah.
You need to apologize.
Because I bet you she never did that. Unless she did the same thing.
And you should also be really happy that she is enjoying a game as much as she is.
Because do you know how many
people would kill to have a girlfriend that wants to play a game that much?
Like, and even all of that aside, what's wrong with like just talking about it first.
Also being like, hey, I know you're really into this game. Do you want to go have dinner together or something? You know, like spend some time outside of the house. That way she can't play the game. And
Yeah. And not even that. Just say, like, you've been playing this game a lot. It's kind of bugging me. I mean, I do that to my husband all the getting... I'm feeling neglected.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not... I'm not mad that you're playing the game. I'm mad that you are only playing the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... And not even acknowledging that I exist.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say that that's justified.
I mean, I suppose it's good first. That a high-speed chase didn't develop. Yeah. It could have gone that way, so...
Fair point.
Yeah.
Okay, next question comes to us from Ricky. Oh, this is the classic question. Actually, I haven't heard anybody ask this since, like, the late 90s, but it's the classic question that gets asked to women. Does size matter?
What?
As in?
I know. I was just surprised that we were answering this question.
Yeah. Yeah.
It counts for something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say... It's not immaterial.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, lots of people like, here we go. We're going to knock in boots here. All you people who wanted knock in boots from Girl Fight, this is it.
Yeah.
This is all you're going to get.
Yeah.
Sex is definitely a very big part of any relationship.
Romantic relationship.
Right.
It could be a big part of friendship too, but let's not go there.
Yeah.
And I think ignoring that fact is you're headed for disaster, because if you're not sexually compatible with the person, it's just not going to work. So it does matter, but everybody has different preferences. So
yes,
it depends on what your preferences are. Which is why I think people who, like, save themselves from marriage are just, oh, God. You're just asking for a disaster.
Yeah.
It could work out and it could not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Girl Fight knocking boots. Only time you will ever hear it. Okay.
Ironically, Jess isn't here. I know she'd have something to say, too.
Oh,
yes,
probably good.
Yeah.
It just occurred to me. This could have gotten way interesting. Yeah.
So this question is kind of funny as well. It comes to us from Travis. Travis wants to know why all these guys are trying to get their girlfriends into games. And he says, my girlfriend isn't trying to get me into dresses.
You know, it's funny because I think that is an incredibly fair point. And
yeah,
I'm talking with some of the guys that we work with, and some of them have expressed irritation that about all the guys who want to date a gamer girl.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, why? Like, why? Because most of them date people who do not play
games.
Quote-unquote
normal.
Either. Yeah. Exactly. And I think as long as your significant other is cool with you enjoying your hobby.
As long as you have something else in common. Or you're like...
Exactly.
It doesn't need to be games.
It would be nice if you had that in common with someone. But if that's the only thing that you're looking for, then you're going to have problems in other areas.
And here's the thing. Like, because... My husband enjoys playing games sometimes. I play more than he does, but we don't play together at all.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Yeah, I think, you know, in my personal situation, since games are such a huge part of both of mine and my husband's life, and my husband in particular, if I had not been into games, I don't think it would have worked out, honestly, because that is our main form of entertainment. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, you don't need a gamer girl. It's not necessary. Next question comes to us from Nicholas. Nicholas' last name is Fillion.
Ooh.
Do you happen to have a brother named Nathan?
He wants to know, what video game were we ever the most excited to play when it first came out?
Mine was Mass Effect 2, and that's it will be Mass Effect 3 when that comes out.
Burnout 3.
Yeah, mine was probably... BioShock 2. I was really excited about that one.
Did that live up to those?
It didn't live up to the expectations. But I think it was impossible at that point.
I'm going to be so excited when BioShock Infinite comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I would say Final Fantasy X, but also God of War 3. One turned out well and the other one not so much. So, yep, those two.
Alrighty. Next question comes to us from, I can't even read this email. I'm Steplaw. I don't know. He didn't. Oh, Steven. He put his name at the top. His name is Steven. I'm sorry.
The other name better.
Steplaw.
Raw.
He wants to know if in a Mass Effect movie, would we actually want to see Shepard and Shepard's story be told in the movie, or would we rather like to see some other kind of something in the same universe, but not necessarily that character?
Something else.
Yeah, I think I would want to see something else too.
Shepard's story is meant to be so, I mean, malleable to like you,
yeah.
That it would be really weird if they would have to pick one way or the other, like good or bad, or you know, Renegade or Paragon. And
plus, they would cast. They would Marky Mark.
I know.
He could be a good actor.
He's getting a lot of kudos for his latest.
Okay, I haven't played the Uncharted game, so I can't make
it. He's not Nathan Drake, but he's,
Nathan Fillion is Nathan Drake.
There is actually.
I mean, I know they're actors, but Mark Wahlberg, who has been a very good actor in many things, and I'm not saying he's a bad actor, but he's just like, that's just not him.
Yeah. There is actually a model that they based the default Commander Shepard after.
Oh, really?
Yes. Which I discovered the other day. And I was like, what? But I don't know if he's too old now to play that role. Still, doesn't Marky matter. Mark? I wouldn't want... No, not Marky.
You don't want a model. You don't want a model actor.
Yeah, he wouldn't do a good job. But yeah, I think anything else in the Mass Effect universe, there's a lot of stuff there that they
could
do.
Yeah, I mean, I think even just taking one of the other characters, maybe, and making them
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Putting somebody else in there?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Because, I mean, I found a lot of those characters really interesting. I found Garrus interesting, Tali. I really, you know, found interesting, too. So there's so much material for them to work with there that I think that just telling the linear story of Shepard would be a cop-out, actually.
Oh, man, now I've got a good vibration stuck in my head. It's such a good vibration.
Why? Because I'm...
Marky Mark.
Oh.
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm not that old that everyone else doesn't
know. I actually didn't know that was Marky Mark.
Yeah, that's Marky Mark.
Because you were young.
It's like his one hit.
His short-lived music career before he turned into an actor.
Well, underwear model.
I was going to say, underwear model. That's what I remember.
Okay, next question comes to us from Calvin. Calvin wants...
Speaking of underwear models.
Good segue.
Calvin wants to know if we think in the next few years that franchises will have all but taken over the game industry.
So that means a majority? Yeah, I think that a majority will be.
Yeah, but a majority of games now are...
Exactly, and that's why I think it'll stay that way. There are still
franchises are less of a risk for...
And they cost less money to develop.
Yeah, because
you already have the basis for it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But there will still be things like Heavy Rain or...
Yeah, there are so many creative people in the industry that somebody will make something. And there are powerful creative people in the industry that... You know,
and there are also a lot more lower bar to entry ways to make games now too, with iPhones and XBLA and PC and PSN and all these other ways. So it's not, I mean, you're not stuck now just, I mean, making a PS3 or a 360 game
expensive.
A AAA PC game costs a lot of money and takes a lot of time and a lot of people. Which is, I guess, why it costs a lot of money.
But also,
that's what's the expensive part.
But
about
also,
it,
a lot of games are being made for like because they're fairly simple to make, like iPhone games and stuff like that. I think will be a good way to sort of get out and do like more independent stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I definitely think those are the places that you will see
more
the more creative stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be probably maybe one a year if we're lucky in the traditional packaged. Release stuff.
Yes.
How long do you think it's going to be before we see Angry Birds on consoles?
I'm pretty sure it'll probably be on DS very quickly.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question comes to us from Craig. This is in relation to the Medal of Honor episode from a ways back. He says that he understands our point that banning games outright is potentially dangerous and could set a bad precedent. He wants to know, in our opinion, does this mean that no game would ever warrant being banned, no matter how universally offensive it is?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm with you. You can't.
I mean, I would
anything.
Say there could be obviously restrictions on who can buy it, but outright banning it.
It's a slippery slope if you start banning games. So, I mean, you can certainly boycott it or refuse to buy it, but it's just such a slippery slope.
Yeah,
I just think people need to educate themselves more on games, parents especially.
Yeah.
Yep. Looks like we all agree on that one. All right. Next question comes to us from Aaron. Aaron has a Dragon Age question. He says he has finished his first playthrough and he loves the game. However, he played through as a warrior and somehow didn't unlock the Reaver specialization. And he found out afterwards that he was supposed to do that with Colgrim. I don't even remember who Colgrim is. Is there a way to get the specialization after the fact?
I have no idea. That game was really buggy, so I'm not surprised that you ran into it.
Yeah, I didn't play as a warrior. So
I did, but I don't honestly even know.
I did, but I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember that either.
I don't even remember what I'm playing as.
I started out as a mage, and then I ended up not liking it. So I felt like Alistair as my tank wasn't really working very well. Right. He just kept dying, so it's like, damn it.
I often play as warriors because that tends to be my play style no matter what I do.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I tank through something.
Do they have a mage?
They have mage, elf.
I mean rogue.
Rogue.
I bet you I'm playing as a rogue.
I played as a rogue.
I bet you that's what I'm playing as.
So, sorry we can't help you there.
I also like being
sneaky. I wonder if
I'm sure that it's in a guide somewhere.
I'm sure, I was going to say IGN guides would be your definitive place to go.
Okay, next question comes to us from Ramirez. Ramirez wants to know if we could pick...
Ramirez! That video? God, that video cracks me up. Have you not seen it? It's on IGN. There's a... I don't remember what game it is, but there's... Where the sound got messed up when they uploaded it. So the game's running in real time, but the sound isn't. So it's all in slow-mo. And it's like, Ramirez! He looked right at me.
Okay.
Oh god, it's so funny. I have to go find this link for you. And upstairs, it's amazing.
Post it on the girl.
We'll post it on the girl.
Yeah, so we can get the reference.
So good.
Okay. So he wants to know if we could pick a post-apocalyptic dystopia in which to live. Which one would we pick? Any media, doesn't have to be a game.
Dude, do I have to? Like, this is not... I'm reading right now The Wind-Up Girl, which Ryan Geddes told me was his favorite book, and there had been many cocktails at that point, and I had my Kindle with me, so I'm like, oh, okay, let me tomorrow right now. And I'm reading it, and it's really, really well written, but it's so depressing. Like, I'm just... It's Earth, like, hundreds of years in the future, and you know, we've ruined everything, and like genetic mutations are killing crops right and left, and people are bartering like viable seed banks and all this sort of stuff, and it's all like Thailand is still like, but you know, they have these huge sea walls everywhere, and it's just, and then they have these genetically produced, so the girl in question is like a genetically created, she was manufactured in a
I would say
it's very
New
depressing.
Vegas, because there's power and water and it's looks like crap, but at least there's a city sort of, and you can gamble, so there's things to distract you.
There you go.
That's a pretty good one. I can't really think of a post-apocalyptic one I would want to live in. However, the world in Aldous Huxley's Brave New World didn't sound too bad to me.
I would say the world of Enslaved. Damn you, Enslaved, for being good in everything but gameplay. Because it actually had a really cool world where it was, you know, like everything was blown up, but everything was like going back to nature. So it was very green, and it was like water and food if you could find it. You just had to dodge a lot of robots.
That'd probably be the prettiest one.
It'd be the prettiest
but
one.
I think
and I like
Vegas
pretty.
Would be the safest one, and that's why I'm picking it.
Yeah. It would be the most pragmatic.
I'm going to choose to be one of the many hundreds of millions of people who dies in this whole apocalyptic thing, so I don't have to deal with these very depressing worlds.
Alrighty then.
A case of the living and being the dead. Yes. Oh, man.
Well, on that note, we're going to wrap things up. Thanks so much for listening. As always, if you have questions, comments, or feedback, you can send those to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/IGNGirlFight. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/IGNGirlFight. And you can follow each of us individually on my IGN. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back with you next week.